To the Middle East now, following a period of seeming military quagmire in Iraq and Syria, the militants of ISIS now seem to have control in more than half of Syrian territory, including the ancient city of Palmyra. They also control Ramadi in Iraq. That's the capital of Anbar province. How could this so-called Islamic State seem to find a foothold despite a coalition of forces fighting it from the air and ground? More disturbing, why, despite months of U.S. attacks against ISIS targets with airstrikes, is the main headquarters of the Islamic State in eastern Syria completely unscathed?
Dropping bombs is really not going to kill the Islamic State. And so it seems that the Islamic State is going to maintain its control over the eastern half of Syria more or less indefinitely.
That's former U.S. ambassador to Syria, Robert Ford, part of a frontline special report on the dubious and tentative U.S. approach to the Syrian civil war. Writer and director Martin Smith says the Obama approach helped fuel the chaos in Syria and then, by hesitating, gave ISIS an opportunity on the ground. Martin Smith, longtime filmmaker for Frontline, producer of this new documentary, Obama at War, which airs tonight, is with me now in the studio. Martin, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So how did the Obama approach help ISIS or play into its hands? Because in some ways, if you lined up the tactics and materiel of ISIS a few years ago, you wouldn't have thought they'd have a chance.
They grew very quickly over the last couple of years and took everybody in the U.S. intelligence apparatus by total surprise. There was no – as I sat down with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dempsey, and I said, you know, for all the contingency planning that you do here at the Pentagon, was there any sort of idea that ISIS was gathering as they were? And when they took Mosul in June of last year, he says they basically were very surprised. So, you know, they didn't come out of nowhere. This is the old al-Qaeda in Iraq that was sort of on the ropes after the by the time the Americans left. But then they slowly began to rebuild, and then they moved into Syria. And the chaos of that war allowed them to gather strength. But whether you can really lay that at the president's feet, I think, is a open question.
Well, let's listen to the narrative here. You've got, first of all, the president didn't learn about Syria from reading it in the newspapers. There were warnings throughout the political establishment here in the United States. Here's John McCain.
I told the president, I said, Bashar Assad is slaughtering people. We are watching genocide take place. And it is going to eventually destabilize the entire region.
And then you have the president responding to chemical attacks, which, of course, changed the game. And Americans remember that very well.
We have been very clear to the Assad regime that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized. That would change my calculus. That would change my equation.
And evidence of chemical weapons did, at least as we were told, change the equation. But here's Martin Dempsey talking with you, Martin Smith, about a hesitation that seems to have been critical in looking as to what happened after that.
It was a Friday night, and I got a call from the President of the United States, and he said to me, I am considering an alternative course of action. And he wanted me overnight to consider whether a delay would in any way affect our ability to be effective with our military options.
Now, what's he talking about there?
That was an 11th-hour order, a phone call from President Obama to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon saying, stand down. The ships were in position in the Mediterranean. The missiles were loaded. They were ready to strike at the regime to prevent them from using their chemical weapon stockpile, which they had been using. The president had warned. You know, he said, that's going to change my calculus. But at the 11th hour, he rethought this and thought he didn't have enough political cover. So he decided to go to Congress to get their approval, which most of his aides said would be political suicide because you're not going to get the support of Congress because the American people don't want the United States to wade into another Middle Eastern conflict.
And as a journalist, you know this probably better than anyone else. America is fatigued with Iraq and
totally.
Afghanistan, and political cover is laughable at this point. So did ISIS at any point take the United States threat seriously as it moved forward to gather territory in Syria and Iraq?
When you talk to people in the Syrian opposition, this is the moderate Syrian
right.
opposition, they feel very much that the jihadi elements, the extremist elements, and that includes ISIS. There are other groups as well. But they took advantage of the decision not to strike. They said to the people in Syria, look, the Americans don't have your back. They say they're going to come and they're going to put down the dictator's use of chemical weapons, and then at the 11th hour, they decide not to do that. So we have your back. Come with us. And in a very beleaguered, long-suffering population of Sunnis in Syria, facing all sorts of assaults from the regime, they increasingly give their support, and it allows ISIS to gain strength.
And would you say that at this point there is a viable option right now, either to contain ISIS, to bring some sort of peaceful settlement to Syria? Is anyone talking about an end game anywhere here?
Well, I think there are diplomatic opportunities to negotiate with the Russians, who are a major supplier to the regime. And the president has put his money on a nuclear deal with Iran. The idea of bringing Iran into the community of nations as a solution more broadly to conflicts in the Middle East, that is one reason he has focused more of his attention on Iran than on Syria. But it's anyone's guess. Right now, the policy is one of containment, and certainly we can contain ISIS. I mean, they control 50% of Syria now and a large swath of Iraq. But these are desert areas without a lot of population. They can be contained. I don't think Baghdad is about to fall.
But The Economist describes Iraq as a proxy state of Iran at this moment, and the control that ISIS has in Syria and Iraq, a Sunni jihadist state for the indefinite future. And Richard Ford described it that, Ambassador Ford described it that in your story. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you have to agree. I mean, look, Abadi, the prime minister of Iraq, gets a lot of support. His most viable fighting force, other than the Kurds in the north, which are somewhat autonomous, are the Shia militia that are backed by Iran.
Martin Smith is a filmmaker and producer of the new Frontline documentary, Obama at War. You can see it tonight on public television stations. Thank you, Martin.
Thanks, John.